I once heard a man say that in his service for the Lord, he would rather burn out than rust out. If I understand what he's saying, I agree to a certain extent with him. Rusting out means that you're doing nothing. Generally, items that are in use don't rust out very fast, but an item that is idle is susceptible to the elements around it and decays. And consequently, he would rather burn out, that is, use all his energies and expend everything that he has in the service of the Lord, and then do nothing. And to that extent, I understand what he's saying, but there's a problem with what he's saying. With either scenario, you come to the end and you're out. Whether you rust out or you burn out, you're done. And I don't think that God has intended in his plans for each and every one of his servants to ever be done serving in this lifetime. Done means death. Means being called home to heaven, to glory. And as long as we're here, God has a job for us to do. And if he has a job for us to do, then we're being used, and you're neither rusting nor burning. You're just being used. If God has designed that we do neither rust out or burn out, there must be some way that God keeps us available for service. Now, I understand, and I'm beginning to experientially understand that as age increases, limitations increase also, and abilities to be used to decrease. I understand all that. I appreciate good old Mrs. Rice. I remember Mrs. Rice saying over and over again how she missed the days when she was a Sunday school teacher and wished that she could do that in her advanced years. And all she could do was pray. And man, what a prayer ministry she had. That was a job in and of itself. She never rusted out. She never burned out. She lived out her life. There is a provision, and I think it is found here in the 6th chapter of Mark's Gospel, found in verses 30 and 31, that enables every servant of God to be used of God for the entirety of their lifetime. Two verses of Scripture is all I want to consider this morning. Of course, that has no bearing on the length of how long I will speak, but that's another story. Verse 30, Mark chapter 6, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come you yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Come apart, Jesus says to the disciples, and I want you to mark the fact that Jesus said that. Come apart and rest. Some people believe that if they're not actively serving the Lord every moment of every day, they are out of the will of God. Jesus said, come apart and rest. It is in the will of God to have periods of time in one's life and ministry of rest. Now, that's not being idle, nor is it burning. It's something altogether different. Our bodies, our lives, were designed with rest included. Fact of the matter is, not any of us can operate on a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week basis of constant activity. In fact, going 24 hours in and of itself for one day is very difficult. To do it for 7 days is practically impossible. Psalm 127 says that it is vain for a man to rise up early or to stay up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for the Lord gives his beloved sleep. How much sleep you need, how much sleep I need may be different, but we all need sleep. We are going to function in this world. God has designed it that we spend a certain amount of time sleeping and refreshing our bodies. Not only that, in the Ten Commandments, there is a Sabbath that was proclaimed for the children of Israel. And the principle of the Sabbath, although not repeated as a commandment in the New Testament, is still necessary due to the unchanging nature of man. The principle is this: God created in 6 days everything that is, and He rested on the seventh from His labors. There is to be a day of the week that man ceases to function in servile work. Now, that does not mean that nothing is done. It just means that the regular activities of life are put on hold. So there is a Sabbath, one day in seven, that man should be resting. Believe it or not, there was a Sabbath for the land. 6 years the land was to be worked, and the seventh year it was to lie fallow, do nothing. Land needs Sabbath, rest. I found it interesting in a book I read some years ago by Dr. Lehman Strauss, dealing with the Sabbath regulations. He said they have found that even machinery works better if it works 7 days or 6 days a week and not seven. Now, I don't know how in the world a mechanical device would recognize a 24-hour rest period, but somehow that's what they found. We were created with the need of rest. We are also created with a need of a particular type of rest in ministry. And it's found here. The apostles had gathered themselves together unto Jesus. Now we need to understand what they gathered themselves from. If you back up a few verses in John chapter 6, back to verse 7, he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two, gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only. No scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust from under your feet, for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, better demons, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. Now understand what's going on. Jesus is sending them out, and he says, I want you to walk by faith. I don't want you to take material provisions for yourselves. I want you to be dependent upon God. Have you ever talked to an unbeliever about faith? Specifically, saving faith and trusting Jesus Christ, and the unbeliever retorts with something like, oh, you Christians, you say that everything is a matter of faith. Well, faith is too simple, too easy. And I say, if that's the case, why don't you try it? He says to his disciples, I want you to go, and I don't want you to take anything that's necessary for your physical provision. Be dependent upon me, using people to provide for you. Well, that's going to create a little emotional distress. Not only that, you're going to go out, and you're going to find places that aren't going to be hospitable to you. You're going to enter places where they won't receive you, and it's not going to be pretty. They're not going to just come up and politely say, we would rather not that you stay with us. But it's more likely going to be, get out of here! We don't want your kind around here. Well, that's not too emotionally enticing either. They are going to have to be out physically meeting the needs of people. Spiritually, there are going to be confrontations with the demonic realm. And consequently, there's just 12 of them, and they're covering a wide geographical area. The physical toll on their bodies from going from place to place to place to place is going to be great. And now they come back to Jesus here in verse 30. And I would assume that emotionally there were some highs. Hey, Lord! Guess what happened? We went out and we met this man and we did this. And we were preaching to this fellow, and he believed us. And there's highs, and there were also lows. We went into this town, and they didn't want us there. There were people with needs that would not allow us to minister to them. Consequently, they were emotionally low. But we went from place to place to place. Man, as exciting as it was, we're shot. And Jesus says to them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place." Come apart from what? Well, two things. Number one, people. Number two, work. How do I know those things? Well, look where they're going. Into a desert, or possibly a better translation might be deserted place. That's how I know there were no people, nothing to do. In a deserted place, there's no people, not much to do in a deserted place. We need a special kind of rest. And my friends, that is not accomplished by what we generally call vacations. Because where do we go on vacations? Gee, I got a great idea. Let's go out where there's nobody and nothing to do. Oh, that sounds great. What happens on our vacations? Well, we decide to go where there's something of interest. And please understand, I am not saying that if you take a vacation, you are out of the will of God. Not by any stretch of the imagination. All I'm saying is that a vacation is not what Jesus is prescribing here. But in a vacation, you say, okay, let's go to the shore. Well, how many shores are local to Salina? I guess the closest one is Lake Erie, and we're talking a couple hours distance. But if you want to go to the ocean, we're talking, what, a good 5, 6, 7 hours, something like that, at least. Something along those lines. Drive for 7 hours, you're already tired. You've worked. You get there, and of course you want to do things. You're going to go here, and you're going to go here, and you're going to go here, and you're going to go here. And guess what? When you get there, there are other people at the shore. Do you ever notice that? There's more people there. Because everyone's saying, let's go to the shore. And consequently, when you go to the shore, you're still meeting people. People that may inspire you. People that may depress you. Well, you say, let's go to the mountains. Okay, let's go to the mountains. There's fewer people in the mountains. Well, okay, that's good. But what are you going to do when you get there? Well, we have to do some cleaning up. And you're working. They went into a deserted place. Because interestingly enough, in order to minister most effectively to people, sometimes you need to get away from people. In order to do the work that we're called to do, sometimes you need to get away from work. Notice, though, who they were with. Come ye yourselves apart into a deserted place. Verse 32 says, and they departed into a desert place. They stayed together as a group, as the people of God. But more importantly, they spent time not apart from people or work, but apart to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a special time put aside of being with Christ in the company of the saints alone. How long were they there? Well, look again, verse 31. Come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Literally, the Greek text says, rest a little time. A short amount of time. Well, how short is short? Well, short is just long enough. That's about it. That's what I can help you with. Long enough to get a fresh perspective on people. Long enough to get a rest to the body. Long enough to soak up the riches of being with Christ alone. Whatever time that takes. But be careful. Don't make it longer than it should be. Because there are dangers in even doing that. Biggest danger, laziness. Consider this analogy. Your body needs rest. So you go to sleep at night. Whether you need 4 hours of sleep or 8 hours of sleep or 10 hours of sleep, it doesn't matter. But you know you need a certain amount of rest. And the next day's coming and you have necessities laid upon you. You have to get up for school, you have to get up for work, you have to get up for this, for that, whatever it is. But you've got things to do. So in order that you're not late for what you're required, you set the alarm clock, right? How many of you set an alarm clock? How many of you just wake up when you wake up? Most people set an alarm clock. Because why? If you don't, you probably will oversleep, right? Now, tell me who this pertains to. If this pertains to you, I want you to raise your hand. You're sleeping. Hello, Lord. Hello, world. This is great. I'm awake. Yeah, right. How many does this pertain to? One more. How many does this pertain to? May I say to you that the worst invention, the most destructive invention that was ever invented by man is the snooze button on your alarm clock. Do you know why? Because the night before you set the clock saying, this is what time I need to get up. And that morning, you're saying, I don't need to get up. I can go for 10 more minutes. And when 10 more minutes is up, it'll be, hello world! And what happens after 10 more minutes? And you hit it again. And it doesn't matter how many times you hit that snooze button, you're still going to wake up in the same condition. Not only that, it breeds a pseudo-spirituality. I just spent a long time with the Lord. And man, I've soaked everything up. Well, that's good. Now you need to be wrung out. You see, being with the Lord and refreshing yourself with Him is to enable you to better minister on the job. But we get this idea of, okay, I soaked this up and I soaked this up. I could soak some more. And we keep on soaking. We do very little wringing. And God wants us to be users of His intimacy of fellowship, not just soakers. They went into a desert place to rest for a while. And guess what happened? Once they rested for a while, and I'm kind of getting into next week's message, sooner or later the people found out where they were and they were back in ministry. Guess what didn't happen? They didn't burn out. They were recharged. They were fit to go on again until it was time for the next time of refreshment. For the fellow who said, I'd rather burn out than rust out, I say, I'd rather neither. I'd rather do what Christ says, to come apart so that I don't come apart. To take some time, get away from people in the fellowship of body of Christ, to get away from work, to concentrate, to focus on a relationship with God, a short period of time, to recharge so that I can go back out and get at it again with increased vigor, vitality. And they turn the world upside down. When was the last time you rested? I mean, not vacation. Vacation's fine. I'm looking forward to vacations. Don't know where I'm going, but I'm looking forward to a vacation. But that's not what Jesus is speaking of. When was the last time you rested? Maybe you only need an hour. Maybe just get away and go somewhere where there's nobody around, or take a couple of friends with you and say, let's spend an afternoon. That's a short time. Maybe it's a day or two or three or a week. When was a time that you got alone with God and rested, really rested? You see, that's no good until you've recognized the value of rest. Jesus put it this way, and in fact, it's right on your bulletin cover, Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you a vacation. I will give you rest. When you know the cessation of labor in order to win the favor of God. That didn't come out right. When you know the salvation of God that causes you to cease from your labor and rely on His, then you know what rest is all about. Interesting paradox. We rest in order to work. We work in order to rest. And God accomplishes in His servants His will. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the rest of salvation. For the fact that all my labors, all my works, all my deeds could never, ever merit your forgiveness of sin. But that the work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross was the sufficient payment for my sins, as well as the sins of the whole world. And that simply by trusting in Him, we can have the benefit of forgiveness of sins, of righteousness imputed, of eternal life, free from condemnation. What a rest that is. But I also thank you for the rest of sanctification. The rest of temporarily removing from the trials and tribulations of this world, of ministry, of people, of work, and allowing the body and the soul to recoup in a very special time of fellowship with you. Lord, may we all experience that rest whenever it is needed, that we might be equipped for the awesome responsibilities that are given to us day in and day out. For the work is plenteous, the labor is hard, but the gifting of God is sufficient for both. And we thank you for that. Lord, use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.